cares for us. We're going to be in Mark chapter number 4 today. We're continuing our series as we're examining the miracles that Jesus performed during His earthly ministry. And it's an encouragement to think about all the miracles that Jesus performed. Every single one of them is touching, inspiring. It helps our faith. And no more than the one that we're studying today, this is one that I've come back to time and time and time again in my own meditation on Jesus and thinking about who He is and all that He is. I want to approach it from a different angle than I've preached this passage before. And at the end of Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, where Jesus calms the storm, and a very well-known miracle of Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and also in Luke chapter 8. Again, the gospel writers don't contradict each other, but instead they complement each other. And they bring in different highlights. They have a different audience in mind. Matthew was writing largely to a Jewish audience. Luke, more to a Greek audience of his day. Mark, more to the Roman audience. Three different audiences, three different intentions in their writing and in their style. And they bring it from a different angle, and it's a different light. And I love that. So I'm going to stay in Mark's gospel just for simplicity's sake today. But I encourage you to read Matthew 8 and Luke 8 as you continue to meditate on this passage. You can see it a little bit different angles on those things. But there's a saying that goes around, God will never give you more than you can handle. How many of us have heard that before in our lifetime? Pretty much everybody in here has heard somebody say that. God will never give you more than you can handle. Is that a biblically accurate question or statement? And that's what I want to see in this miracle today. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 does tell us that God will never allow the Christian to face a temptation that they cannot escape from. God said that there will be with that temptation a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. But that's speaking about a temptation to sin. It's not saying that we are exempt from suffering in this life. And anybody who's been a Christian for more than a couple of days knows that we are not exempt from the suffering in this life. And I believe that Jesus shows us a better way forward in this miracle that happens here as He calms this storm. As it says, I want to pick up reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and the same day. Now, we don't have time to get into all the context, but that is just a flashing red light when you're doing Bible study that go back and see what is He talking about, what has happened on this same day. If you, like I do, have a Bible that has the words of Christ in red, you see pretty much all of Mark chapter 4 is in red letter. That just simply indicates to us that Jesus is speaking. So this whole day, He is preaching, He is teaching, He's ministering to people. The crowd is so big, He has to get into a boat and get out in the water a little ways away from the crowd so that He can speak to them all along the shoreline. And He's teaching and talking all day long. And we see as we get to verse 35, and the same day, when the evening was come, He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him, and said unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Jesus, don't You care that we're going to die? I want to pause our reading right there as we reflect on this miracle, the miracle that's going to occur. But let's first focus on the problem at hand. You see, Jesus is showing us a better way forward when we're trying to deal with trials. And this is the trial that's in front of them. And get the picture in your mind. They're out here on the Sea of Galilee. It's like a large lake. And storms are very common there because of the geography and the topography of that area. The wind can come through the ravines very quickly and storms whip up there. And the majority of these guys are sailors and fishermen by trade. And so they had spent countless hours out on this body of water trying to catch fish and many other things. And so they're experienced sailors. They're experienced with the storms that pop up here. This isn't surprising, but this is an extremely severe storm. And this great storm, it calls it in verse 37. It's not just the waves, but it's also the wind, a fierce wind. And the waves are filling up their ship. I mean, it is just absolutely drowning them. They've got everything they can. They're using their hands. Maybe they got an old bucket and they're scooping out the water, trying to do everything they can to save it. But their effort is paling in comparison to the storm. It just continually to swamp their boat. And they're getting filled up. They're going to go down. They know this is it. They are in fear for their life. You know, don't let this fact escape your notice. They are literally afraid that they're about to die. Some of these men who have spent, again, countless hours on this body of water, they're scared to death that this is it. We're going down. This is one storm that we can't outmuscle. This is one storm we can't outmaneuver. And they're trying to figure any way out of this. They're trying all their best effort. And yet, here is Jesus. Where do they find Him? He's back in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He's at rest in the midst of all the chaos going on around him. They awoke him and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we die?" You see, we got to look at Jesus as being 100% man and 100% God. And this passage displays both his humanity and his deity in this close proximity to each other, in a great contrast and complement, really, to who He is. As 100% man, we see Him responding to all the chaos around Him by simply resting in the Father's care. Jesus knows the Father has me in His hand. He is keeping me. If this is the way He wants me to die, then so be it. If He wants me to go down right here, I'll go down right here. If He wants me to continue on, then He'll continue me on. And Peter, who is in this boat at this time, some years later, could look back and with similar language that's used in this passage, says, "Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you." 1 Peter 5:7. Jesus is just resting, just trusting in the Father's care. And what do the disciples say? They say, "Don't you care? Aren't you concerned?" But Jesus is concerned. Jesus does care. We're going to come back to that. "Don't you care that we perish?" You see, they mistook Jesus resting to be uncaring and unloving. And what about us? You know, we've gone through so much in our individual lives. As I look across here, I know many of the pains and the problems and the trials that you have all faced, and some are still facing and going through some very difficult things. Many of you, in just the last few months, your lives have been turned upside down. Things have happened in your life that has just turned everything around. Up is down and down is up, and it just seems you don't know which direction to go. And in our church, we get that way. And as we look across this country, I mean, just this week, the school shooting in Texas, our prayers are certainly with those grieving families. As I thought about that, my heart broke as I imagined my own kids being similar age to that. And I just cannot even imagine the pain that they are feeling even today. And we look across our country and we think about Memorial Day. We have the red, white, and blue here. Many of you are dressed in patriotic colors today as we remember the sacrifice that these people have paid. And then we, on top of that, we think about the moral decay of our country. We think about the godless situation that we find ourselves in as a country. And we see America going the wrong way at 100 miles an hour. And we wonder, you know, "God, what are you doing? What are you up to? Don't you care that our nation is going down morally? Don't you care that our nation is going down spiritually? Don't you care that all these godless things and this wickedness is just rampant all around our country? Innocent people being gunned down. people celebrating sin and honoring sin and rejecting the Savior. Jesus, don't you care about this? And we come back to our church and we say, God, don't you care about our church family and all the struggle and all the hurt and all the pain that our people have been through? We look at our individual lives and sometimes it feels like, Jesus, don't you care about these things that I'm faced with? Where are you in my pain? Where are you in my hurt? Where are you in this brokenness? In our hymn book, on page 384, if you want to just glance there with me briefly, page 384, I'm not going to sing, I promise I'll spare you that, because you'd be saying, Jesus, don't you care that he can't sing and now he's trying to sing to us? That would add to your torment, not ease it in any way, shape, or form. We love to sing this song here, and it's got a wonderful message in it. I'm not going to take the time and read all the words, but that's simply the title of it, Does Jesus Care? Page 384 in the hymn book. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? The very last verse, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? The chorus answers back so strongly, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And he does care. Jesus cared about his disciples. He cared about this situation. And we cannot mistake Jesus not responding how we think he should, when we think he should, the way we think he should, to not caring and not loving. We're misunderstanding that God has a bigger picture in mind. God has a bigger purpose. Jesus was teaching his disciples a very important lesson that they needed to learn right here and right now. And it's that they can trust the Father with their very lives, no matter what is going on around them, no matter what the chaos is brewing around them. And we can do the same in our country. And we can do the same in our church family. And we can do the same in our own family and in our individual lives. We can trust our God. He cares. He sees. He knows what he's doing. He's not wondering what's going on. What am I going to do next? None of this ever takes him by surprise. Somebody said it this way, did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And I like that statement because he knows exactly what's happening. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen the next day. It's all in his hands. Now, we answer back with the question of why and the problem of evil and suffering in this world, and that would take us into a different message than what I want to preach today, and we'll come back to that as we go through this series and into the future. Also through our radio broadcast and our podcast, we're discussing some of those kinds of things as well. And so that's another good outlet to hear some of those kinds of things. But the main gist that I want to drive home for simplicity's sake today is simply that Jesus does care. He sees, he knows, he's able. And sometimes we say, well, maybe he does care, yes. Maybe he does love us, yes. But maybe he's just not able. What does the very next verse say? Master, carest thou not that we perish? At the end of verse 38. And he arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. With those three simple words, notice all that happened. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, we had the opportunity to be on vacation with Amanda's family this week, and we were down at the beach, and I guess it's okay for Baptists to say beach, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You can't. I'm not going to sugarcoat and say coast. We were down at the beach. But one of the days we had a rainstorm come through, pretty good rainstorm, and all the next day the waves were real choppy. And so what I'm saying is that when the storm stops, and the rain stops, the flood stops, the wind keeps going and the sea keeps going. But notice Jesus takes care of the cause and the effect of this storm all at once, doesn't he? I mean, it's just instantly that sea became like a piece of glass. It was just so smooth. The wind stopped, the waves stopped, everything was just instantly peaceful. And if you've ever been at a storm at sea or on the beach, when a storm comes up, Amanda and the kids were down at the beach, I think it was Friday, and they got down there and a storm was coming in. The wind was picking up the sand and blowing it, and Christian was saying, "Get me out of here. I don't want all this sand flying in your face and in your mouth." That's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it? Getting all that sand in your mouth and in your ears and everything. And so that storm was coming up really severe, really fast. And I was trying to go and help them get out of that situation. And it was beyond our control, and it was something that we couldn't handle. But we had to get them out of there, get them back into the house, back to safety. And God knows the storms that we're going through. And as I saw those waves, they began to roll in even stronger and stronger. I could just imagine Jesus saying, "Peace, be still." And instantly, everything would have changed. And it is so loud when the wind is howling, when the water is coming. It's just the loudness of all of that. And then instantly, for Jesus to say, "Peace, be still." Can you imagine how quiet it got all of a sudden? It goes from blowing wind, blowing water, everything loud and crashing. Your boat is a wooden boat that is cracking. Maybe they're hearing the timbers cracking underneath them, and they're worrying, "We're going down." And then instantly it's quiet, it's calm, it's peaceful. There's no stirring whatsoever. And not only does Jesus see them and care about them and love them, Jesus is able to conquer this storm. Jesus is powerful, even greater than nature, greater than all that nature could throw at Him. Jesus just speaks these three words, and everything stops in just an instant. God knows what He's doing. So Jesus, as 100% man, shows us that He's fully resting in the Father's care. And Jesus, as 100% God, shows us that He is fully in control of the situation. And He is. Again, God knows what He's up to. God knows what He's doing in your situation, in your life, in and through the pain that you're experiencing. God never puts us in a situation that He cannot handle. You know, the saying, as I started with, God will never give you more than you can handle. That puts the emphasis on us. But no, God never puts us in a place where He cannot handle it. And that's where the emphasis needs to be, not on what we can handle, but what on what He can handle. And we see that what happens here is that they do not realize the One that is with them. And can I say that we often suffer from that same lapse of faith? We do not realize the One that we have with us. We bring God down to our level, and we're trying to shovel ourselves out of situations. "God, my family is going through a hard time. I'm trying to get the water out of the boat. Don't You care? Don't You care? Where are You, God? Don't You see we're drowning? Don't You see we can't shovel out of this mess? We can't get all this water out of our boat. We're in a financial mess. We're in an emotional mess. Our family is being pulled apart because of sin and because of evil and because of bad situations and bad temptations and bad decisions that other people are making. Don't You care about our schools? Don't You care about our country?" And over here, we're so busy shoveling the water, trying to shovel the water. We feel like God is nowhere near us. But dear friend, He is right there. Jesus was right there with them all along this way. He saw them, He cared about them, He loved them, and He was fully in control of the situation. God knows what you are faced with, and God wants us to trust Him more as we're going through that pain so that we can be like Jesus as man. He is just asleep and at rest and at peace in the midst of the chaos around Him. And we can model that same kind of rest. He wanted His disciples to see that God has this. "I am in control of the situation. Don't worry about it." You see, we worry so much about things that are outside of our control, things that we can't impact one way or the other. And it clouds our minds. It keeps us up at night. And sometimes we wear a badge of courage saying, "I was up all night, you know, praying about this situation." Maybe God wants us to rest in Him and to put it onto Him and go to sleep and get a good full 8 hours of rest and be ready for the morning. There are things that we can't do a single thing about except to trust Him and to rest in Him. I think pushing yourself to that extreme of wearing yourself out, I don't think that's godly, to put it bluntly. Jesus here is in chaos, yes, but He's asleep. He's at rest. He's not stressed. He's not worried because He knows the Father has Him in His hands. He said, if I'm going down, I'm going down. There's nothing I can do to save myself out of this. I'm just resting in the hands of the Father. Now, I'm not saying we just abdicate our responsibilities and we just sit back and take it easy. And God, if You're going to feed me today, please dump $200 worth of groceries onto my porch by noon. And one jar of peanut butter will probably get delivered to you for $200 the way things are going nowadays. But anyways, that's besides the point. I won't even get into the gas prices. But we see that, you know, we can't just abdicate our responsibility and just say, okay, God, just dump it down on me. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's not doing that in any way, shape, or form. He is just at rest and at peace within Himself, knowing that God is in absolute control. God has this in His hands. He's going to get us to the other side. Jesus told them in verse 35, the very first verse in this section, let us pass over unto the other side. If God makes a promise that you're going to the other side, you can mark it down. You're going to the other side. They had God's word on it, and still they doubted. As we close up this passage, we see in verse 40 and 41, how Jesus says to them, after the wind ceases, there was a great calm. He said to them, He turns to the disciples now, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Their fear in this instance, their fear was based in a lack of faith. And what about ours? Do the fears that we're experiencing in our life, does that reveal a lack of faith from us and in our life? I love the fact that Jesus never calls out their inability to handle this situation. Jesus never calls them out and say, how come you guys didn't know what to do? How come you guys didn't know how to navigate out of that storm? How come you guys didn't know how to save the boat and how to get the water out of the boat fast enough? He doesn't talk to them about their ability to handle that situation. He knew it was beyond their ability, and that was part of the test that He brought them to. And He wanted to teach them through that storm that, yes, you can trust Me every step of the way. If I am with you, you are safe no matter what you're faced with. No matter what is happening to you, you are safe. So God never calls out their inability to handle the storm, but He does call out their fear because it is rooted in a lack of faith. And oftentimes, our fear is rooted in a lack of faith and trusting in God. We're not trusting in what God has said. We're not trusting in what God wants to do in us and through us. And so we give in to fear, and we allow fear to control us and fear to dominate us. Yes, I'm concerned about what I see happening in America. And yes, I'm concerned about the future of America. But if I allow that to become a fear where I do not trust God, then I am sinning. And I've gotten to a place where I'm committing a sin of faithlessness in our great God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The same thing isn't just true for our country, but it's true for our church. It's true for our individual families, and it's true in our individual lives as well, in each decision that we have to make. We need to trust God by faith every step of the way. We may not understand it in the moment, and there's other miracles that we could turn to and look at. I love John chapter 11 because it parallels this in these truths. And we may not understand what Jesus is doing at the time. We're going to get to John 11 where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day. Martha and Mary had asked Jesus to come and to heal Lazarus while he was still alive. And Jesus didn't respond right away. And so they thought, man, does Jesus not care about us? Does He not love us? Is He not able to do anything about this? Yes, he loved them. Yes, he cared. But he had a bigger purpose in mind. He had a bigger picture in view that he wanted to bring. And he did that in a miraculous way of raising Lazarus from the dead. He does the same thing here. He's teaching his disciples, I am with you. I have power over this. And you are able to just rest in me, trust in me. I've got you in my hands. I believe it was last Sunday I watched the live stream since we weren't in town. But they sang that wonderful song, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. He's watching every single one of you. You're never outside of His care. You're never outside of His watchfulness. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. He is in you if you are a follower of Him. We need to learn to rest in Him. I believe that in this miracle, we see a great illustration of the gospel. And isn't this the message of the good news of Jesus Christ? Before we were saved, we were drowning in our sins. We had no way to save ourselves. We can try all we want to get the water out of the boat, to get the sin out of our lives, to get right with God. And we can't do it on our own. We can never get to the other side on our own merit, on our own strength, in our own effort. But Jesus steps in at the perfect time with the exact solution. He died on that cross for our sins. And He was rose again to accomplish the salvation from our sins that we needed. And we can say that, yes, I am trusting in the Lord for my soul's salvation. And maybe many of you here today, no doubt many of you here today, have trusted Jesus for the salvation of your eternal soul. And you know the good news of the gospel is that Jesus loves me. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again. I cannot make it on my own effort. I can never be good enough to get to heaven on my own. And I receive Jesus as my Savior. And so my question to us is simply this. If we trust Jesus to save us from our eternal sins and we put our eternal souls into His trust, into His care, and we're not up at night worried and wondering, is Jesus really going to be able to save me from my sins? Can I really trust Jesus to save me? But why can't we trust Him with the smaller things in life? We trust Him with the most valuable thing that we have, our eternal soul, but don't we stay up all night worrying about this situation and that problem and this storm that we're going through? Why can't we turn that to Him just like we turn over our eternal soul as well? I love this song, Rock of Ages. This is another one in our hymn book, page 243, if you want to look at that. But the author of this is Augustus Toplady. He was born in 1740. He died at 38 years old in 1778, young man. And at 15 years old, he committed his life to the Lord in a Methodist camp meeting in an Irish barn, of all places, and began to study for the ministry and entered into the ministry after that. He died of tuberculosis at age 38. But he wrote this song, Rock of Ages, and I think he conveys the message of this text very well. It was said that he borrows a lot of language from a hymn that John and Charles Wesley wrote in a book that they put together for the Lord's Supper, hymns on the Lord's Supper. And I thought it was fitting how God tied these things together for us today when we're going to be honoring and observing the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. But in page 243, Rock of Ages says this, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save me from is guilt and power. He's saying, Lord, I ask You to save my soul, not the labors of my hands can fulfill Thy law's demands. So there's nothing that I can do to work my way to heaven. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone. He said, if I had all the zeal in the world, if I had all the energy, all the effort, all the strength, I still couldn't muster up enough strength to make it on my own. I couldn't cry enough tears to repent of my sins. It's got to be what God does for us and in us and through us. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to thy fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, and see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. What is he saying? I'm simply trusting in you, Lord. It's not about my effort. It's not about my ability. It's not about my trying. I'm just simply hiding myself from the storm in you, in that cleft of the rock, and right there where he can find a hiding place, where he can be protected, he can be sheltered from the storm. And God is with us no matter what we face. If we can trust him with our eternal souls, we can trust him with the storms that this life brings. Yes, God will sometimes send us into things that we cannot handle, but he never sends us to something that he cannot handle. We got to rest in him and trust in him as we go through this life. Let's have a time of prayer and invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the great God of all heaven and earth. Lord, forgive us. Sometimes we bring you down to a level beyond what you're capable of. We diminish you. We serve a small God, and we think that we serve a small God when in fact we have the great God who spoke the Word. And through the power of his Word, he spoke the world into existence. And right here, Jesus shows that he is in complete control of all creation as he just simply says, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. The wind obeys this man. His disciples had a God that was too small. They said, "Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obeys him?" Maybe there are some of us who are here today and we are your followers. We have put your faith and trust in you. And yet, the storm gets us. And we look at the waves. We look at the wind. And we see the boat sinking around us. And through fear and through a lack of faith, we do not trust you. Lord, forgive us for that. Whether it be on an individual level, a church level, a national level, or as we even look across this globe. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us and forgive us of those things. Forgive us of fear that comes from a lack of faith. God, increase our faith here today. May we trust in you. God, I pray if there's anyone here today or anyone watching through our live stream that has never put their faith and trust in you, that today would be the day that they call upon Jesus as their Savior. Yes, you loved us enough that you died on that cross for our sins. You were buried and you rose again to accomplish forgiveness for all of our sins. No one is too far gone that they cannot be saved, that you cannot change and transform their heart and their life. I pray that if anyone is like that today would be that day of salvation. In Jesus' name we ask.